Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Commitment, community, compassion, and I'll add empathy to this list, as these are the qualities you need to possess when your spouse, partner, sibling, or loved one faces a serious illness or has an accident. I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Life, Love, and Health. Joining us today to discuss how to manage a relationship through a health crisis is psychotherapist Barbara Kipowitz, co-author of the appropriately titled In Sickness as in Health, Helping Couples Cope with the Complexities of Illness. Barbara, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you, Christopher. I'm happy to be here.
You and your co-author, Roanne Wiseman, came to the subject not only as professionals, but also as having weathered sickness in your own relationships. So I assume you know firsthand that it's not a matter of if, but when couples will face a new reality. Seems to start with a phone call, doesn't it?
It often does. And both Roanne and I were the ill partner in the relationship. And luckily, we both had a heroic husband. I had a mysterious, crippling, chronic pain condition, and Roanne suffered a stroke, and we were both in our 40s, and this was not on our agenda at all.
No, it's not part of the plan.
No, it wasn't part of the plan. And we both realized that our recovery was partly because we had great care and great health insurance, but also because we had a partner who was by our side throughout every scary diagnostic moment and painful treatment experience, and who also did the laundry and went shopping and protected us from intrusive relatives and held the hope when we were afraid and made us laugh.
You've said in the book, In Sickness as in Health, and by the way, where can listeners find this book?
It's available on Amazon and in bookstores, and will be published in January and available then.
Aha! You say in Sickness as in Health that the book is a power tool, not just for the suffering partner, but for the well one, their caregivers, and family and friends who love them. So if that's the case, when's the best time to read the book? Here, I'll answer the question for you on a pre-need basis. Is that fairly accurate?
Yes, I would... I would say yesterday is the best time to read the book. Certainly, if you're living the situation and you're part of the couple, whether the ill or well partner, the time is now. But the sad story, but the truthful story, is no one gets out of this life alive. And so if you would like to strengthen your relationship now and build the kind of resilience you need now for later coping with an illness or an accident, then it's a good time to learn what our wonderful couples and profound experts taught us.
We just did a show with the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization and discussed their outreach efforts, which go under the banner of comfort, love, and respect. And we spoke a great deal about an instrument called a PULST, Physician's Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment, and also an advanced directive, which can provide tremendous peace of mind and comfort during some very, very stressful times. Would you advocate having those in place yesterday?
I think that there are a lot of both legal documents and financial planning that it's never too early to start. But I think one of the absences when it comes to thinking about treating illness is that when you're part of a couple, mm-hmm. while the illness may reside in one person's body, it's really two lives that are dislocated.
Oh, I've heard so many people involved with cancer say, mm-hmm. and heart conditions say that the whole family gets sick. And I think mm-hmm. there's some truth to that, mm-hmm. isn't there?
I think the whole family gets sick, but I think, I know my husband and I, we've been together for quite a while and clearly have been through quite a lot. And I can tell by a nano shift in his breathing if there's something on his mind. yeah, it's scary sometimes.
No, actually, that's intuitiveness and being wired that way is absolutely wonderful. It really simplifies life.
It does, and it also means that your partner is as much a part of your healing process as is the medication that you're taking. They're the ones who read you. They're the ones who can ask a question that you might be too frightened to ask of a doctor or a healthcare practitioner. And they're the ones who can become half of your memory.
It sounds like your book, In Sickness As in Health, Helping Couples Cope with the Complexities of Illness. And by the way, we were speaking with psychotherapist Barbara Kivowitz, who is the co-author of that book. This is really a patient advocacy book. And in addition to being a kind of a tour guide or roadmap for couples to work together collaboratively to find resolution of a health event. Have I properly characterized the book?
I would say yes. I think that there's certainly a lot of practical advice in the book, both from our couples and experts, about how to best manage the healthcare system, be your own advocate, and get the resources you need. But I would say that a lot of the learnings in the book are really about how to, if you can, become stronger through illness rather than to be broken by it, both individually and as a couple.
Why don't you give us an example of that, how you can come out the other side after the outcome, the resolution, feeling like you're perhaps in a bit better place?
Well, I'll share one quote from a psychologist we interviewed, a woman named Esther Shapiro, who said about illness, and I quote, "We can attend to what is truly important with intention and can live each moment potentially feeling more alive with illness than the deadness of life before illness." So one couple we interviewed, they were in their 30s, and like many of us, they had just stopped paying much attention to their relationship as they got swept up in the ruts of daily life with kids and chores and work and bills and all that. And in fact, they even said that their bedroom talk was about who could take the kids to soccer and was it time to get the dog to the vet for a flea treatment.
Kind of the basic logistics of life take over.
Exactly, exactly. And relationship management was not even on the list. And then she started having symptoms of pain and exhaustion and irritability and was just not there for the chores. And she was diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Oof.
And it forced them to stop and to stop the chatter and to start really talking to each other about what was going on for them and what they needed from each other for the first time in probably about 15 years. And they started to say things to each other like, "Tell me what you think. Tell me how you're feeling. What are you afraid of? How can I help you? And please hold me."
Yeah.
I mean, simple things but powerful things that they hadn't spoken aloud to each other in a long time. So illness was actually the seismic event that allowed them to shift their relationship to a much more intimate level, and one that actually persisted long after she started to get better.
I know our listeners would love to learn more about you, your work, and of course the book. Do you have a website that people can visit for more information about In Sickness As in Health?
Yes, and coincidentally, the website is www.insicknessasinhealth.com. And there's information both about the book and also links about other resources.
Our guest has been psychotherapist Barbara Kivowitz, co-author of the book In Sickness As in Health, Helping Couples Cope with the Complexities of Illness. Thanks so much, Barbara, for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Christopher Springman.